Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to BTW, and we're going to drop some PvP knowledge on all you suckers.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. My name is Chris, aka AstroZombie954.
My name is Jacob, aka Dino el Mágico.
My name is Brad, aka WildcatDad7.
And today is Monday, November 8th. It's been a fun couple of days. I can finally say that.
Right? I was going to say, like,
did something happen?
I don't know. Something happened. we got a 5-star review. That happened.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. So before we do anything, I want to read that real quick. So I think it was either last episode or the episode before I read one of the 5-star reviews that came in and thought it was from JD Mojo Jojo, but it wasn't. So whoever left that one, let us know so I can give you the right credit. But this one actually did come from JD Mojo Jojo. And he wrote, "Been an avid listener since the fourth episode dropped. The guys never steer you wrong. Can say without a shadow of a doubt that they're the only two Pogo podcasts I would 5-star. If you're wanting to up your PvP knowledge, this is a must listen and a must join Discord." It really is a must join Discord, which is filled with great people from all over the world. Yeah.
We are worldwide now. Yeah.
Astro and Dino have grown into their roles presenting, and the addition of Wildcat Dad has taken it to another level. The only thing I could ask would be for, in the show notes, if we can mention the PvP teams and put like the minutes, because 9 times out of 10, I'm driving and forget to check the teams out. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, I like that. I was actually going to just add, like, if for some reason we do forget to put him in the show notes, he can always tag us, you know, that's another option.
Yeah, that's one of the advantages of being in the Discord, is you have direct access to bug us until we listen to you.
Yeah, you can just tag all of us, especially Astro, the most.
Yeah. I will do my best to kind of put timestamps for when we mention teams, but don't get mad at me if I miss one or two.
Yell at him all you want.
I'm quite a bit, like, as we're
recording. He probably deserves it for something.
Yeah, something.
One point or another.
Yeah. So, but besides, the 5-star review, Dino, how was your week?
It's been good. I mean, we've been doing, prior to today, basically, we were doing Ultra League for such a while. To me, it seemed like it was such a long time that we were doing that, just because I guess we have, this is the second season of it. So, second half of the season. So it just feels longer for some reason. So I'm kind of glad things were changed. Nothing really changed. I did drop a lot today because I was trying out different teams. just trying to figure out, you guys saw my five pages of teams that I had from
Yeah, you are wild.
So I'm just trying. Wild. That's how I keep up, like, track of like how teams are, what's common and not. There was another player in our local chat that started doing that, and he gained some serious points before it changed. Oh no, yeah, before it changed to Masters and Kanto Cup, and it seemed to be working for him. So, and then also obviously Astro was gaining points with, what was it, watching other streamers, and you know,
yeah.
So, all these things do help. And it kind of seems silly, but it actually does help a lot. And that's, I mean, right now I'm losing points, but I'm just trying to gain them back at some point this week.
Yeah. How about you, Wildcat? How was your week?
Week was pretty good. Overall, I think I enjoyed the Dia de Muertos event quite a lot. I didn't get to play it nearly enough because it was, you know, 22 hours. Not long enough by any means.
Not at all. Not at all.
But it was a fun event. So... the Festival of Lights is, in my opinion, been a little bit more disappointing than I expected. I was hoping I would enjoy it, but I did get a shiny Blitzel. So thank you. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's something.
Oh, those are the best.
Something. Astro, how was your week?
Oh, it sucked. It was terrible. It was the worst week ever. No, I'm kidding. let's see. Was it Thursday? Thursday is when I spent pretty much Thursday just watching Twitch and YouTube and stuff, trying to find a team for the last couple of days of Ultra. And I was trying to find an Ultra Premier team. And everyone that I saw, it was like, I didn't either have the Pokemon made, or I wasn't comfortable with the Pokemon they were using. So, you know, if you're not comfortable with what the team is, you know, you're not going to be as successful. And I happened to come across a YouTube video. I believe it was earlier in, like, maybe towards the beginning of the Ultra League second time around, from Home Slice Henry or Harry? Henry?
Henry,
I think. Yeah. Henry, yep. Yeah. And it was a triple dark team. And as soon as I saw it said triple dark, I was like, I'm all over this one. And surprisingly, like, I fell right into the team. Like, it fit everything. So it was Alolan Muk, Scrafty, yeah. And Obstagoon. And then Obstagoon was running Night Slash with Hyper Beam, which I forgot to put when I posted it. The last 2 days, I switched to Gunk Shot because I was getting a lot more fairy in there, and that actually helped. It was so satisfying hitting Sylveons and Clefables with Gunk Shot and just wiping them out.
Did you hit any Hyper Beams on like any other Pokemon?
I did. I hit 2 Hyper Beams. Surprising, well, maybe not surprising. An Alolan Muk can take a Hyper Beam. Like, it was like I sneezed at it.
Interesting.
It was crazy.
Ultra League Alolan Muk has actually got a little bulk behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't in Great League, but it absolutely does in Ultra. It surprises me constantly when I'm hitting it with Ice Beams and Surfs, and it just laughs at me.
Yeah. So I was using that team, and between that and between Friday when I started running it and 5 o'clock this morning or 5:30 this morning. Yeah, 5:30 this morning. I went up total of almost 350 points to hit veteran for the first time ever.
Yeah, we don't have the button to clap, so we have to
do that. They don't have it. I do, and I don't want to clap for myself. But
great audio having people clap into a mic. It's real good audio.
Yeah.
And they're probably like, what is this?
But it was a lot of fun. I picked up that team really well and understood the ins and outs of it like super fast because I'm used to all of those Pokemon. I've used them before in other things. So when I would see a fairy lead, like I knew I had that. I knew I had it. Like, I knew what they had in the back. Like, I was good. I just they would switch out. They normally would switch out into, it was most of the time, Obstagoon or Giratina. And then I would just switch in to whichever one. And then I started learning, like, if I saw Swampert leads, there was probably more than likely a Cresselia in there. Because that seemed to be, like, a really popular team. I think it was, like, Swampert, Cresselia, and Giratina, I think. But a lot of Giratina leads that I just kind of laughed at.
Yeah, I bet. They're probably literally all your team. Yeah, basically all your team can beat it, so.
Yeah, it can. It can beat. The only thing I had a hard time with was Talonflame, either in the lead or they kept it all the way in the back. Like, they just never brought it out until the end, because Obstagoon can take it down if I'm got two shields, but not really. Like, those flame charges add up, like, real quick.
Yeah, that's one thing I did like about Premier, that I didn't have to see that in Classic. so happy I didn't see any.
Yeah, you get to see a Charizard. That's scary, seeing a Charizard. As my Lapras just laughs at it and surfs away.
Yeah.
I saw a bunch of Lapras, and it was funny switching. I would throw a acid spray with Muk and then switch into Obstagoon, and just to watch, like, the life, like, the HP just start chunking away before they even, like, could tap the switch button was great. It was fun. So,
meanwhile, in Ultra League Premier, Lapras was my absolute MVP.
Yeah.
It done so much. It was the best safe switch you could have in Ultra League Premier, because there was very little fighters out there. And if they were a fighter out there, typically they were in the lead, is what I was seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. So now it's the push for what, expert?
Yeah, you'll get it.
You can do it.
So hopefully I'm still, I finished the day, I think, plus 48 points. So, like, low, I think it's like 25, 24 is where I'm at.
Yeah, so we take any points, anything
is good. Listen, this is a huge win for me. Like, this is, like, so, and I want to say on the record that I probably wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for Dino and Wildcat. Like,
oh, stuff. Stop
and
it.
There's, well, that and, like, a lot of the guys in the Discord, just the moral support, like, you know, people just backing me, like, telling me I can do it. And, like, they're all hitting legends, and here I am, like, pushing for veteran, and they're, like, just as excited for me to hit veteran as I am for them hitting legend.
It was huge. And it was huge. It was definitely a huge accomplishment, man. Don't put it down.
No, it's like the best part about our Discord.
Yeah.
Is, like, it doesn't matter your level, like, everybody is celebrating everybody's, like, victory. Whatever your goal was, like, everyone's happy for you.
Yeah, exactly. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen most of our Discord members improve season over season.
Yeah.
So when I joined the Discord, I was peaked at Ace. Next season, I hit Veteran. The next season, hit Expert. Now I'm hitting Legend. So you're seeing that same track from a lot of different people in the Discord. Is having that community behind backing you really does make a huge difference in your that climb, especially when you have a bad day.
Yeah.
Because one bad day can turn into two real quick, and having people going, you got this, don't worry about it, keep grinding, you'll be fine, makes a huge difference.
Yeah, for real. It's I think I've seen, there's probably been a couple people that have been in our Discord that have started, like, probably around the same spot Wildcat is and has hit legend. I know what, Uncle B hit legend twice?
Once?
Okay.
This would be his second season.
We've had a couple people hit it twice since they've been in the Discord. So it's always, it's a fun place. It's fun. I enjoy it. So, but yeah, so we've got, not really a whole bunch to go over in Sylph. We can't really go too much into Brawler Cup. Are you guys having fun with the Brawler Cup since now we're in it?
I am currently 4-3-0, so I'm enjoying it.
See, if I had practice, I probably would have enjoyed it more, but I actually did want to mention, I totally forgot how, like, Sylph worked. And it's something you actually have to like practice prior to the cup itself. If not, you're basically going in there blindly, kind of like how, for example, like people are going into Master League Premier Classic right now, not really remembering or knowing like what's meta. So it's basically if you have no practice before like a Silph Cup, like I completely forgot how it was. It's just basically the same thing. Like you have no practice, you don't know what's meta, what's common, what you can take and stuff like that. So definitely if anyone struggles, definitely practice a lot before any kind of Silph Cups. I'm learning literally as I'm playing the tournament at the moment. So
yeah.
So we need, this is where we needed the Allen Iverson practice. Or not, what was practice. It was Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy. Practice.
Yeah, so, basically.
Yeah. Because it is. It's a different animal than GBL. Like GBL, you have like a set meta or like set Pokemon that everybody kind of uses. And then Silph will throw in like those random things that you're like, wait, what? What the fuck is that?
Yeah, and you gotta relearn, like, or not relearn, but learn like a different Pokemon's moves and stuff, like, and how much it takes and all that stuff.
And is this the appropriate time to mention my uber spicy pick that I kind of gave up on the PGR video last week that Miami Doc helped me with?
If you like.
Yeah. If you'd like.
So my tourneys have started now. Pidgeot is an absolute monster in this cup.
Yeah.
It is a hard counter to all the ghosts that are out there. It mostly hard counters Machamp, though it can get a little dicey depending upon shield situations. And overall, it's just a huge high damage output that doesn't have to worry about a lot of things in the meta. So me and Miami Doc had done a bunch of playtesting, and we both kind of agreed on Pidgeot being probably the most important members of our team. And right now, we both, I think, have used it in every single round.
Yeah, yeah,
so far. So if you haven't started your Brawler Cups, take a closer look at Pidgeot. Also, don't use Dickersby. It's not very good in this meta.
Mm-mm.
It may be ranked one, but it's
that's good. That's insane, though, like that it's rank one, and I don't think I've seen one being used. But if I did have it and if I did use it, I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't use Earthquake. I feel like I would still like use Hyper Beam probably over Earthquake at this meta.
Maybe, but I just because Machamp is so popular and other Pokemon like Wishcash is really popular, it actually loses to both of those pretty badly.
And I've seen a lot of like Vigoroth and Machamp on the same team. So yeah, you don't bring Diggersby out when you see that.
Oh, and I've seen Dewgong be fairly popular as well.
Hmm.
So
you know,
between those three Pokemon, it's just doesn't have what it needs to in this cup. I don't understand how it's rank one, honestly.
I'm kind of curious, since you're using Pidgeot, how have you or how does Melmetal play against it?
I have not faced straight up a Melmetal yet.
Okay.
I typically am doing what I can to align Melmetal to either running against one of either Whiscash, Machamp, or Empoleon. Yes, Empoleon technically takes a loss there, but those waterfalls just do so much neutral damage so quickly that, especially if you have a shield and can block the first superpower, Melmetal can't touch you at that point. So even though it is technically a bad matchup for Empoleon, it's still better than what I would want to do with like Pidgeot, who's just hitting it for non-super effective damage and can't really do much against it.
Okay. So yeah, because I was just wondering, because I did, that was going to be my pick for it, and then I came to realize I don't have one, so I was pretty annoyed by that. So that's why I was like curious, like how it plays out. And then on the side note, I did actually finally transfer Pokemon to Pokemon Home, so now I have a box.
There you go. Look at that.
So now you just wait for the double catch candy community day and double up your candy. Don't even worry about, or not community day, but spotlight hour.
Yeah, no.
And don't worry about what's spotlighted, and there's your extra candy.
Yes, yeah, it's probably going to be probably too late for this cup. I'm not sure yet, but I was just curious like how it does play out. I know that obviously it's Great League level, so I don't know how squishy it is, because it is squishy.
It's squishy. It's real squishy.
Even like against Gust fast attack, I would assume it would still be like a good chunk.
It does a decent amount still.
Yeah.
The reason it can fight back so well against Pidgeot is it just charges so quickly.
That thing's so spammy. It reminds me of like Swampert. That's why I like it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I luckily practiced against Wildcat a couple times before we started the Brawler Cup, and realized how much I hate that bird. So I purposely made 1 to 2 picks just to counter it in case I ran into it.
And who did you face first round?
It did not work out for me in the first round.
Look at him, what is the Pokemon that you purposely made for Pidgeot?
So I went with my Shadow Zapdos.
That's
whatever it is.
Was that before or after you knew that I was using it, or did you not know that I was using it too?
I did not know you were using it.
Huh. That's crazy.
Because I think I came with the Zapdos when I was practicing with Wildcat. And then we came with that, and then Vigoroth, surprisingly, depending on the shields can beat the Pidgeot.
It can. It that was probably the scariest thing that I've seen on your team. Vigoroth is pretty scary in this meta, actually.
Yeah.
Those counter body slams are just so spammy.
Yeah.
But how did that match end up going for you? Did you win any of the three?
I lost all three.
So let me hear this.
You couldn't get out of its way.
My team ahead of time. You built counters to my team, and you still lost.
Yes. But second round, I played against one. I came out victorious. So I learned from that. And it was a crazy match. It was probably one of the best matches I've ever played.
Now, to Astro, you know what they were mentioning before, to the point here, I probably done 5 tournaments worth of practice matches just in the Discord. So I know my team really well. I have put a lot of time and effort into learning my team and the ins and outs and how to perform in almost every conceivable matchup.
Yeah.
Because I'm giving Astro a hard time, but I knew based on my practice how he had to play his matches and was able to counter that specific version of play for him to win.
Yeah, I was like, what are the odds that I'm fucking getting this guy first round after? He literally helped me build my team. So, and then I forget, there was one where you had your Empoleon on something that, like, I think it was on Vigoroth, and the waterfalls just deleted it like so fast.
Yeah. So my Empoleon is rank 1 Empoleon. So it's a very good Empoleon, but it's just so fun, especially with Drill Peck and Hydro Cannon charging at the exact same time. You never know what's coming. You can, even against a Machamp, you have a chance of fighting back if they don't have a shield.
Yeah.
So it's a good matchup. I've enjoyed the meta. Like I said, I've put a lot more practice into Sylph this season. And that's partially because the expectation for Pokemon plays and the actual regional tournaments and the international tournaments is Sylph style is most likely what we're going to see, where you're going to have choose 6, pick 3 type tournaments. So understanding that format and practicing in that format is going to be really important, I think, for anyone that's planning on competing in regionals.
Yeah.
Dino, I'm talking to you right now.
Hence why I am in the cup. I mean, in the tournament.
Yep. So I guess as the Brawler Cup goes on, you know, we'll be able to talk about other things and see what's going on. Ours just started. I know there's a couple other tournaments that are starting a little later in the month. But one thing that, me and Wildcat talked about, well, the three of us talked about, is we're hoping for next month, to start really using our YouTube page to kind of go over like the Sylph metas and basically run some teams, record them, and then do commentary on them so that you guys can see these Pokemon in action before you start, you know, thinking about which ones to use. Because you know, some people who didn't practice and they put Diggersby on their team are probably kicking themselves in the ass right now because they just wasted a slot.
Yeah, for sure. So,
and then we're also coming up to, I know we dropped in the Discord December's custom meta, but before we get to December, we have to go through November. And today is the day that we finally let you guys know what our custom November meta is. And Wildcat, why don't you tell everybody what that is?
So the hint was around and around we go to determine the best type who will know. So we are going to do a type-specific gym leader-based tournament. So understanding here what happens is, let's say Astro's favorite type is Dark-type Pokemon. So he will become a Dark-type gym leader, and his entire team has to include only Dark-type Pokemon. Dino picks out Psychic. He has to include all Psychic Pokemon. I go Water. I have to include all Water. Now, one thing that is a little different here, unlike Sylph, between each round, you can TM your Pokemon. So if I get matched up against Astro in his dark types, I may have something that can hit dark types super effectively out of one of my waters. I don't think I do, but just say I could get something. I could TM to that super effective move in the middle of the tournament. So that is very different than what you see in a Sylph tournament. Now, what makes this one a little special in the merry-go-round hint is Sylph launched this season the round-robin type tournament. So we're going to do this gym leader tournament in round-robin style. The caveat currently is round-robin tournaments are capped at 8 people. So if we have more than 8 people register, we hope we have, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 like we have in past tournaments. We're going to divide everyone up via RNG into subgroups of 8. At the end of that round robin tournament, the winners of each robin will get put into another round robin tournament to determine the ultimate winner. So unlike some other tournaments and Sylph stuff where you could avoid bad type matchups for you, I pick electric or I pick water. I never face the electric trainer. Now you're forced to trace every other trainer in the pool.
Yeah.
So it's going to put from some hard matchups and everyone will get hard countered at least once probably.
Yeah,
I would love to see like those upsets. You know, like let's just say that some water trainer beats that grass trainer. That would be like awesome to see,
or something like a water training beating a dragon trainer.
That too,
yeah. Because the last time I did one of these tournaments, I did that.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of water Pokemon carry ice beam.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's what I like.
So understanding those matchups. Yeah,
yeah. I think I was in. I did one in the PGR Discord.
Yep, that's last what I'm year. Talking about too.
And I think the person who won the whole thing was a bug trainer. If I
think it was normal, actually.
Or was it normal? Okay.
Yeah.
But I remember somewhere in there, I think it was a bug ended up beating a fire leader or something. It was something crazy where it was like, how did you even do that?
So the one thing that is going to be a little differently, because we are setting this up in round robins and we're going to have to subgroup it, we need everyone to get their teams and their types to Seagull in the Discord ahead of tournament start time. So tournament will start on November 26th. If you can give him at least a 24-hour lead time of having your team sent to him so he can use his wonderful Seagull assistant to RNG out the pools so we can start putting everyone into pools. The other thing that's going to be nice is this tournament has a real prize. The top trainer standing will get a $50 iTunes or Android gift card, Google Play gift card.
I like that.
Wait, how much was that again?
50. Unless it's Dino or Astro, and then they just get to take it out of their own pockets.
And then we just get a high five.
But I'm going to win anyway, so it isn't like
just keep your money. Well, I mean, no, these things are fun. I've already started looking at types for this to see what's going to give me the most coverage. Just my only thing like going into this is don't get too frustrated, like coming up with trying to figure it out, because at some point in the tournament, you're going to end up playing someone that completely counters your entire team. So what I would say is do your best to at least have something on there that'll help you be at least a little competitive. But just focus on the rest of the rest of it. You don't want to get stuck with a team that is hard countered and then loses to like two other types too.
Well, so what types are you guys looking at initially, just on first glance?
So for me, at least, like I've mentioned, I always try to look for something that, let's just say, if you pick water, you have some waters that can beat grass or electric. So I mean, technically, water to me is like the first one that like pops out, just because you have, as an example, you have Pelipper for like grass. And then you have like Swampert for any electric, right?
And don't forget Ludicolo actually is really good against electric as well.
Because he's part grass. So you have like something like that. And I'm sure you have that same concept with the, you know, bugs. I know that for a fact that not all of them have, you know, this like dual typing that can help you. I think fire is actually one of them that does not can like it doesn't really cover. Like for example, would it be like water? Like it wouldn't be able to like cover water too well. So I always try to look at those. Like I know like a lot of people I've played something like this before. They use dark, you know, has some good typings, possibly normal. But to me, like the first one that always comes up is water, just because it has like the most coverage, at least to what I see.
Yeah, I think fire is probably the only typing I'm gonna say we probably won't see. It's like
it's unfortunate. Fire just doesn't have the moveset still.
Yeah,
like Blast Burn is good, but just doesn't hold up to everything else out there.
Yeah, because even your dual typing ones, what is it, Delphox with the psychic, like the water's still gonna annihilate you. Like it's not it's not like something like an Alolan Muk where the poison counters the fighting weakness and now only makes it weak to ground.
Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, now you mentioned, you know, fire, water, you'll have maybe what Magmortar with the electric. Was it he has an electric move from Community Day, right?
Yeah.
Or am I mistaken? Like Thunder Punch, right?
Thundershock or Thunderbeam?
That was Thunderbolt.
Thought it was Thunderbolt.
Oh, was it Thunderbolt? Yeah, okay. So, I mean, like, something like that. But, I mean, who uses Magmortar? Like, especially in Great League? Like, no. It's just sad. And, like, with that, you also got to take into consideration, like, using, thinking about typings that are not going to be used that much and using that to your advantage. And that's why I feel like, you know, that's how people decide also, like, which typing they'll go with.
I'm looking at right now, Psychic, Ghost, Grass are probably the three top ones that I'm seeing right now for me.
Yeah, so, like, for that, like, you wouldn't really see Fire, but you would worry about, for, like, Grass, you would see no one really use Fire, but then you have Flying, and I'm sure, I think, with Grass, they have some that would give you coverage, right, for Flying, or...
Don't think so, actually.
Really?
I don't think, yeah, I think grass loses to flying pretty hard, especially something like Skarmory. I don't think there's any hitting back against.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, I mean, you have, like, soft counters, but you don't have anything that will, like, be, like, a good counter that I can think of, like, the top of my head. You may have some of grass Pokemon, like Ludicolo that has Ice Beam, but...
Yeah. Or Shadow Ball off of Trevenant.
Yeah, unless you're going against Pidgeot, then then that would be something. Yeah, I mean, like, to me, like, those are, like, the ones that you guys mentioned. Those are very, like, popular picks. I feel like it'll be among, like, the top ones that everyone will be looking, like, Water, Dark, maybe Psychic, Normal. I feel like you'll see a lot of those. I don't see that many fighting, or if none at all.
I could see someone trying to get real spicy with it because there's enough fighting out there that you could make it possibly work.
I mean, would you really want to use something spicy when you just heard how much you can get if you win?
some people just want to have fun.
So I was just
throw together a Lucario, a Shadow Machamp. Oh, shadows are allowed, of course.
That's good.
Lucario, Shadow Machamp, Sirfetch'd. You could make a team work.
Medicham.
Medicham, oh yeah, Medicham.
Medicham, sir. Yeah, you mentioned Sirfetch. Scrafty. I mean, it's not bad.
And Blaziken.
Yeah, actually,
you got a decent amount of coverage there. You just got to
have Stone
Fire
Edge.
Or flying is a little suspect, but Stone Edge on a couple of things, and yeah, you could win out there.
Yeah,
I think we'll see Poison being pretty popular across this because of the new buffs.
Yeah. So I was just, while you guys were talking, I was looking at some of the grass Pokemon here. Ferrothorn and Cradilly would probably be your two that would help you with your flyers there.
If only I had a Cradilly.
He's spammy. He's actually spammy and super annoying. And
that's weird. So you would figure grass ground would be at least neutral to flying, but it's not, because I was looking at, what is it, Torterra?
Yeah, no, it's don't even.
So I'm looking at dark and normal, just because I love the dark Pokemon. I'm comfortable, I know them, but I think I'm leaning more towards the normal typings. There are a few dual typings, and because normal is pretty much neutral to everything except fighting, it makes out for a decent type. It's a little less that you have to worry about. Just most of them are super squishy. So that's the one downside. But the upside besides that is they all have like the craziest movesets. Like, I think we've talked about this before, like some of the normal like move sets on like, what was
it? Body slam everything. Body slam it all.
Yeah. What was the dog? What's the dog?
Which one?
Stoutland.
Oh, Stoutland. Like, I think it runs Lick, Wild Charge, Crunch, and Play Rough. And if you want to get spicy, you can run Ice Fang on it too. Like,
and with you're able to do the TMs between matches here, mm-hmm. you could, or not between match, between rounds. Very question. Between rounds, you don't mid match go change your moves.
please hold while I change this real quick. No.
Please hold while I hard counter you to death. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But so those are the two I'm looking at. Depends on what I have more of, because I don't want to go too crazy trying to make stuff for this.
Yeah, so. don't light your dust on fire for this tournament. Yes, there's actual money at the end and all, et cetera, et cetera, but it ain't worth your dust.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's what's going on in our Discord for our custom meta. So let's move on. Oof. It always seems to happen on Monday that they decide to like just throw a whole, it's like they know we're recording and they're like, oh, we were going to give them a short show. Not today. and a whole bunch of stuff came out today for the in-game news. So let's go ahead and move over there and get talking. Right. So, like I said, a bunch of stuff came out. So let's just bang through them and go through. So apparently there is some new gyms and Pokestops that just randomly started popping up. Did Niantic officially say it was a bug?
It is listed on the bug tracker as investigating.
Okay. We were kind of talking about this before, and it's before the show. I think like they just launched, what is it, Pikmin something? Some Nintendo something game like
Pikmin Bloom.
Yeah. That it works with the game for the Switch. So I'm maybe guessing that they're pushing new gyms. They just weren't supposed to, and stops, they just weren't supposed to push it right now.
Yeah.
But I expect to see an increase in those things as this game, I guess, gets more popular. I don't know how popular it is. I've never played it before.
Yeah, I mean, I see some people playing it, like some Pokemon Go players. Like, I think Trainer Tips was streaming it the other day, if not yesterday, I believe. Yeah, I mean, I played it when it was on the GameCube. I don't know if you guys knew, like, when it was on the GameCube. I used to play it there, but not, like, too much. I used to play it every now and then. It wasn't that fun.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens with that.
Did you guys actually hear? I don't know which game it was, but it was one of the games that Niantic made. I don't know if it was Harry Potter or one of the other ones that got closed, or it's they're not making it anymore.
There's two games. Actually. One closed, one is done, and then what? Harry Potter
was it? Harry Potter is
Harry Potter is getting
Harry
shut
Potter
down.
Is getting shut down.
And what was the other one?
I forgot.
It I just something... know. I just heard that it was Harry Potter. I just didn't think it would be, but I guess it is. And
yeah, when you look at the revenue numbers between the two games, so Pokemon Go last year made Niantic, I think, something like $2.5 billion. I think Harry Potter cleared something like $10 or $15 million.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's a huge gap. I mean, isn't Jurassic World? I believe
it's still going strong.
It's still going strong. It looks not slide.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Cause I figured like,
and they're working on the Transformers game, which looks really fun.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cause I know that some people were like panicking, that like, oh, you know, Pokemon Go, like, is it going to close? I mean, they're trying to stretch, Pokemon Go for sure. It's going to be here for a while.
Yeah. I don't see that it going anywhere. Anytime soon. And actually, I was listening to PGR on the way home, and they did a really good, like, they had a really good discussion about this. You know, because Saul had actually played Wizards Unite, so like he knew like how the game was and stuff like that. And they made a good point in saying that basically they're their biggest competitor.
Yeah, basically,
you know. It's like you're putting out games to compete with your other games, because they made a good point, like, if you're gonna play Pokemon Go, like, that's gonna consume most of your mobile game playing time. Like, you're not gonna be like, oh, let me jump over to Harry Potter and, you know, do whatever there, and then, oh, I'm gonna jump back to Pokemon and do, you know. And then events, sometimes I don't know if the events cross over sometimes or whatever. So I downloaded it. I think I started it and couldn't like really get into it and just forgot about it.
So I'm going to say something that's going to get some hate thrown my way. I've never read a Harry Potter book or watched a Harry Potter movie, and I had absolutely zero interest in ever playing this game.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of hate. It's funny you mentioned that, because I don't know if you guys had to do this, but in elementary, you had to read to get points for certain thing. I don't recall exactly what it was.
AR reading, I think is what they called it.
Something like that, where you have to get points, and like Harry Potter books were always like a good amount of points. And I just watched the movie and, you know, answer the questions based off that. So I actually kind of like, the only reason like I was forcing myself to do it is because of school. But I don't think I would have actually, you know, either watched or read the book if it wasn't for that.
Astro's disappointment in the two of us is very so strong sad. Currently.
I love the movies, and I had never read the books because I'm not a big reader. I have slight dyslexia when it comes to reading, and also my reading comprehension is terrible. Like, I have to read things like 6 or 7 times to get it.
I was literally going to say that, because I'm like, yeah. I'm reading the page and like, oh, you see a butterfly pass by. I'm like, oh, butterfly. And then that's literally what I just can't concentrate on reading it.
Yeah. I'd get to chapter 2 and they'd reference something in chapter 1 and I'd be like, wait, when did that happen? And I'm like, shit.
Now no I gotta idea. Go read now I got to read it again.
Audiobooks count as reading,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, 100%. They do. Because that's what I was going to say. So I was a big fan of the movies. And I think I was talking to Fish on the stream about it, and he sent me all the books on audiobook, and I listened to all 7 books, and I think it took me maybe a month a little less than a month. I would listen to it at work on my ride home. I will tell you this. I always hear, like, I always mean, like, kind of just brush people off and like, oh my God, the book is so much better than the movie. This is one case where these books are like, it almost made me not like the movies because there was stuff in the books that I was just like, how are you not putting this in? How was this not in the movie? So if you're into Harry Potter books, or want to read them or listen to them, DM me and I can put them on my Google Drive and then share the link, with you. And we're promoting, what is it? Pirating?
Basically.
Whatever. It's education. You're going to get on me for education? Come on. So, I don't know how we got to talking on Harry Potter books, but there we are.
I was just in here, it's like, how did we go from Pokestops to Harry Potter books?
Because they're closing the app.
Oh, there we go. That's it. But like I said earlier, like if you want to hear like a good in-depth conversation about it, listen to PGR's episode from today. Like they did a really good job breaking it down and explaining, you know, their point of view on why the game closed and what it could mean for Pokemon Go, you know, good or bad. So I would check that out. Another thing that came out was the Hoopa quest. So, you know, that really annoying quest that sits on our little special research things that you have to wait like a month for the new one to pop up and I never know what it's about anymore. That whole thing, if you don't finish it by the end of the season, you can buy it.
No.
Buy the extra special quest that comes after.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Yeah, I'm still not going to buy it.
For how much?
For
Astro, do you know?
$5.
You guys are not getting it, right?
Well, no, because
I will finish the research.
I finished it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm caught up, so get caught up.
Good luck finding your 30 dark and 30 ghost.
Yeah, that one would be tough if you didn't get through that already. But yeah, so it's such a double-edged sword when it comes to paying for things. They are giving it to you for free, and you really did have plenty of time to do it. My kids who only get to play it on the weekend are caught up. So if they're caught up with this and you're not, you're just not doing it. Like, no Dino's excuse. Not doing it.
All right, what do you mean? I got it done.
Yeah. If you're not like caught up with it, like the research, like everyone has been like stupid easy. Especially the ones that correlate with the event that was going on at that time. Like, I think I finished it without even knowing that I finished one. My gacha did everything. So, like, I get it. Like, I'm okay with that. I think $5 is a little excessive. Kind of like that Mr. Mime event.
Mr. Rhyme? Was it Mr.?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was Galaria Mr. Mime to get Mr. Rhyme for $8.
Yeah, it was $8. I paid the $8 and Dino got one for free.
Yeah. That's how
I may have paid the $8.
Yeah. Well, you got two out of them and it was like right after that they did that the trading
long
thing
distance. Where
it was like, yeah, the long distance trading. So I traded him the second one.
The way I looked at that though, that was a day of going out and doing something.
Yeah.
Especially in the winter when I don't want to get out of my house anyways. It gave me an excuse to get out and go play a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I just think that for things like this, like the 99 cent research rewards, like you get on community day, the special researches, that's fine. Like if you're going to do it, make a 99 cents. You're giving it to everybody for free. If they're not finishing it, like I don't think they should be penalized $5. Like $1 is okay. In my mind.
I could even see three. I think $2.99 I wouldn't balk at, really. I think the $4.99 price tag, especially when you do the conversions for some parts of the world, that $4.99 in some parts of the world can be $20, $30, $40.
Yeah.
Equivalency in the US by the time you add on the iTunes fees and all that. So,
yeah, exactly.
That's not Niantic's fault, but it does make it feel a little worse.
Yeah. So, if you're listening to this and you haven't, you're not caught up, get caught up so you don't have to pay any money. Because I have a feeling it's going to be Unbound, Hoopa Unbound at the end of it. And if it follows suit with some of the movesets and stats that it has in the main series game, this thing is going to be a fucking monster.
It is a monster.
Yeah. Besides the fact that it looks absolutely terrifying, it's got great moveset. It's got good stats. And I think the typing is even favorable. I think it's a dark ghost like Sableye, no? Or is it psychic?
I think it's dark psychic, I thought.
It was a good typing, I remember from looking at it. So I would much rather get it for free than pay $5 for it. So that's that. Now the fun stuff.
Psychic Dark is the Unbound form. Confined form is Psychic Ghost.
Okay.
So it drops the ghost, picks up the dark typing.
Which helps it?
It means its only real weakness that it's outside of a 4x weakness to bug, it's doing a lot better. It still has this fairy weakness. It cancels its fighting weakness. It now picks up a dark neutral to ghost. So it does help it overall.
And I mean, this is going to be, it'll be a Master League Pokemon more than likely. So this thing is going to have nothing really to worry about. I don't know very many bugs. Maybe Escavalier is probably, but I don't even think anyone runs that in Ultra or in Master League anymore. I know they used to, but not anymore. So it could be a lot of fun. So don't sleep on that because you never know. Let's see. Like I was saying, the fun part of all of this news is our local clairvoyant, our psychic, our telepath, Wildcat Dad, predicted the upcoming event. After Light, their Shadow or something like that? Something of that nature. Something cliche like that. He predicted it pretty much dead on. I think the only thing you said was they were going to do like a bonus for purifying or something like that.
I know. I still think they need to go to a purified bonus because right now there's no, outside of a couple Pokemon, there's no reason to waste the dust to purify anything.
Yeah, no. And I'm really glad that this came out today because I just got my sixth piece thing from
The rocket.
Grunts.
Yeah, the Grunts.
Yeah, so now I have a rocket radar and I was about to do it. And then I saw someone posted this in the Discord. I was like, nope, gonna stop.
lucky you saw that because I didn't and I actually used it. So
you still have to beat six Grunts anyways for the part of the research. No harm, no foul.
Perfect. Yeah. So that event, that starts technically
midnight tonight
or tomorrow. Yep. Midnight
tonight. Well, tomorrow technically.
Yeah. So you're going to be able to TM away frustration. Now in the official statement, it doesn't give us an end date on how long you can do it. But from what Wildcat told us earlier was what Ghost Stadium actually reached out.
Correct.
To Niantic and confirmed that you will be able to TM frustration until the end of the Festival of Lights event, which ends on,
I believe, the 14th, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it was the 14th. Okay.
Cool. So that's going to give you plenty of time. If you haven't, you know, prepared yourself beforehand, I know I've tagged every single one that I need to transfer, even the ones that aren't relevant. Could be relevant at some point. Like I'm TMing it. Like I'm just doing it just to be safe. Cause you never know. Like we always say, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. I actually ran into somebody. I think it was a Nunfo that asked the question if you can like tag the ones that still have frustration. And I don't even know why I didn't think of it. You could just do the at sign and then frustration, and it just shows the ones, all the ones that have frustration, instead of, you know, having all your shadows show up and you're like, oh, you got to click each one to see which one has the move or not.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I have like a rank one shadow. What's the teddy bear that Ursing?
Teddy Ursa.
Yeah, but the next one
Teddy
is,
Ursa?
What is it?
Teddy Ursa Ring?
Yeah, I have a rank one shadow. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm going to TM frustration away because you never know. So with that, Giovanni's back, and he's going to have Shadow Lugia. And correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't people like super hype about this?
Because they were hoping for the Gale of Darkness Shadow Lugia, which... Okay. It's just misplaced expectations. So for those people that want to see the Gale of Darkness Shadow Lugia or Shadow Mewtwo from Pokken Tournament, keep in mind other publishers publish those games. So while the Pokemon Company do technically own them, they co-own them with other publishers, which means you would have to have Niantic partnering with not only the Pokemon Company, which they already do, but in addition, for like, for example, Shadow Mewtwo, Bandai Namco owns part of that. So it's really gray. It's an unfortunate where they can't do it because of the licensing ramifications. But either way, doing the research, Shadow Lugia just isn't as good as Lugia across the board.
Yeah. So PV Poke already put it up on their Master League rankings, and Lugia normal Lugia is ranked one in Master League right now. The shadow comes in at 6. And it looks like it picks up maybe one win that it didn't before, and that's Togekiss.
And I think it loses a couple more than it did before as well. Two or three more, actually.
I mean, it's one of those Pokemon that the defense, the 20% defense debuff doesn't hurt it too much because it's already got
other way around. It hurts it too much because it has such a high defense. Oh,
yes. But it helps its attack stat pretty well, especially Aeroblast is probably going to be pretty insane if you get hit by one of those.
Yeah.
So what I recommend is make sure you don't catch it during windy weather, because what you might be able to do is if you don't have a Great League CP Lugia, maybe at least you can have a Shadow Great League Lugia.
Because
you do have a chance for it to be a low enough level via the rocket encounter for it to be below 1,500.
As long as it's not weather boosted?
As long as it's not weather boosted.
I think I did that with my my Ho-Oh, and it ended up being a... I ended up catching it, and it was like a 14-14-14, and I was just like, I'm just going to purify this thing and make it perfect and keep it for Master League, you know, because it was like...
Breaking the rules. I know, never purify a legendary.
I know, but with that one, like, I did it. Yeah, I did it. And I don't regret it. It's up there. It's if I ever need it for whatever one day, I'll have it. So that is there. We're going to get the last part of the research that we were just talking about. So that's going to be fun. And then the Rocket Leaders are going to have new Shadow Pokemon. Now, this is all in Japanese, so I'm going to go out on a limb. So Cliff is going to have... Alolan Grimer, or is that...
Regular Grimer.
Okay, regular Grimer. And then his second Pokemon can be either Venusaur, Machamp, or Crobat. And then the third Pokemon is either Charizard, Arcanine, or Tyranitar. So your encounter is going to be Grimer, right? Okay. Just making sure I can't tell if it's Grimer or Muk, so
it's definitely Grimer.
Yeah. And it could be shiny, so that's always fun. There's one here, we'll get there, that it's throwing me off that it doesn't have a chance of being shiny. But Sierra's going to have Nidoran.
Nidoran.
Female.
Nidoran. Correct.
That'll be your encounter in the first Pokemon. You have Beedrill, Vileplume, and Slowbro in the second slot. And then Houndoom, regular Marowak, and Nidoqueen at her last one. That one is probably going to be the one I think everyone's going to be going for.
I think all of these have a good potential. Like, at least for me, like, all of these are good, maybe except for maybe Grimer. But
I've seen a couple Shadow Grimer actually in Ultra.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, out of the three, I feel like that's the least that I want to go after. But I think all of them are actually pretty good for Ultra League, to be honest.
Yeah. Arlo is coming with, is it Gligar or Gliscor?
Gligar.
Gligar.
And then his second one is Mawile, Lapras, or Cradilly. And third is Scizor, Gardevoir, or Snorlax. All three of their encounter Pokemon do have shiny chances. Now, this was the one that kind of threw me off.
I already know the answer.
So your decoy, so that's where if you don't use your Giovanni radar on the balloon, because I believe the balloon guarantees you Giovanni. But if you're going to do it the old-fashioned way and go to stops, you could get the decoy. Decoy is going to be Bellsprout as your first Pokemon and the encounter. Second one, Raticate, and Weeping Bell. Yep, okay. And then third is Raticate or Snorlax. Now, is there a reason why that Bellsprout cannot be shiny?
You want to answer that one again?
I'll let Dino correct Astro for once.
Okay, so Rocket Leaders are the only ones that can give you shinies.
Huh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so any grunts, anything else, can't.
Rocket Leaders and Jesse and James.
Yeah, Jesse, yeah.
Because they're kind of weird. They're grunt level, but they're not.
They're like above leaders grunt, either. But below Rocket Leader.
So what makes them special? And then Giovanni can't get a shiny, apparently.
Yeah, it will. Money. Instead of a shiny, you get a legend. You get a legendary Pokemon. So there you go.
Because they need to find a way to sell us Shadow or shiny Shadow Lugia at another time.
Yeah, I guess so. So speaking of Shadow Lugia, Giovanni is going to start off with Persian. I think that's normal, right? He always starts.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And then second one can either be Nidoking, Kingler, or Rhyperior. And then the last one is always going to be your Shadow Lugia. Now, I believe you can only encounter Giovanni once.
Once per radar. So if you have a radar that you save from a previous month, you technically can get them twice.
Okay.
And if you're having trouble, because I know I see a lot of people talk about they have trouble with Giovanni, the biggest thing I can suggest, start with something random in the front, whatever your back Pokemon are supposed to be. Have Lucario in the back and immediately switch into Lucario and just fire power up punches as quick as you can.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to get past that Persian, because Scratch from Persian as a Shadow actually does a lot to everything.
Yeah, thing a lot of people always like say, oh, what do you guys use? It's annoying. You want to use like something like that maybe you may use against Lugia even, and then switch to Lucario after, and then do it that way, because like Wildcat said, Persian, even like on a steel, like it still does a lot. It's like melting it down.
Yeah.
And what you're doing there is there's a 3-second delay anytime you switch or throw a charge move with Rocket Battle. So you're just exploiting that 3-second delay to get a few more counters in, and because you can get to power up punch really quickly that way.
Yeah. So I think what Ghost Stadium or Silph Road normally puts out like a counter list. So if that comes out, I'm sure it'll come out either tomorrow or later today if it hasn't already. We'll throw it up in the Discord and tweet it out so you guys can see that too. And then the other thing is your Volibee encounters, right? From your research, or is it only the eggs?
Research and eggs, and it's going to be in special research. So you can go out looking for, or Pokestop research. So you can go out and target Volibee task.
Okay.
Which is a very simple task of simply defeat a Team Go Rocket grunt.
Nice. So this is a perfect chance if you don't have a Mandibuzz to get that. And it could be shiny. So I'm going to be hunting for that because I want a shiny one of those. So little.
It's a really good shiny.
Little diaper bird.
Right? I'm just glad I didn't build anything for Ultra League. So now I'm just going to focus on this one.
Yeah. Luckily, my Mandibuzz for Great League, I think, is technically should be for Ultra League. I just kept it at Great League. So now I have a chance of getting, because the research encounters, the stats are lower, right? In like the special research?
Just, it's level 15.
But in the special research, like the ones from the gym?
It'll still be 10, 10, 10 floor, but it'll have a level 15 versus a level 20.
Okay.
I am a little salty right now because I just got my 7th day stamp last night.
Dang.
So I have to wait another week. And I don't know if I'll be able to get out and search for that Volibee task, unfortunately.
I think I get mine tomorrow, so.
I get mine tomorrow. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it.
I hate you both.
It's like the one time like I got like the one up on you. I was hoping that I had the one up on both of you, but Dino came in and said it first.
I had to take the moment to say it.
But you knew this was coming up. Like you knew.
I did not know shiny was coming out. That was an actual surprise to me.
Yeah. You knew.
I should have realized.
You should have realized. So,
however, I do like doing rocket leaders and 12K eggs, actually, for trying to get that Mandibuzz XL. So,
yeah,
I'll have multiple shots at it. I'm fine.
Yeah, go for it. I think, honestly, that's like the I got most of mine from eggs. I think that's like the one Pokemon I've got the most out of those 12K eggs.
It is the most common in the 12K eggs.
Yeah.
How much you want to bet it won't become next week?
No. It'll be worse than Axew. So I think, did PV Poke put out? I think they put out a tweet today with some of the Pokemon that you should prioritize for the TM TM away frustration. So if you all could only do one, what would be your priority, Wildcat?
Mine is going to be my Ultra League Machamp. That is the number one thing I'm really looking at. I do also have three different Magnezones.
Mm-hmm.
One for Great, one for Ultra, one for Masters that I need the frustration TM'd away.
No, you're ready. He's been ready. He's been ready for a while now. Yeah. They had us waiting for so long that everyone like literally named everything that they need. For me, it's funny because a lot of people in the local WhatsApp chat are going to make fun of me for this because during last Rocket event, it was literally before the poison buff, and I TM'd almost everything I needed at that moment, and I forgot to TM my Nidoran, so I went that long without using the shadow Nidoqueen.
Oof.
So,
is it bad? Even though I've had mine the entire time, I just built it last week or the week before.
No way! And you had it ready the whole time.
Had it ready the entire time. It's rank 305, I want to say, so it's a decent shadow.
I like that. Mine was, I think I've got pretty much, I already have my Nidoqueen with that taken off. I have a rank 2 Ultra League Machamp that I need to, and then, I have a rank 1 for Great League and Ultra League Grambles, So those are like my three, like right off the top that I know I have to.
Why do you need a second move for Cramble? It's not like you're ever going to get to it.
It doesn't matter. You never know.
You never know.
Haven't we learned this? You never know. Just like how many times you use Focus Blast?
I tried to today. It didn't work out very well. Tried.
So, I mean, I'm looking at, like, I just kind of looked at some of the shadow Pokemon here ranked. So for Great League, it looks like your top two is Machamp and Swampert. If you don't have those, get those. Then Obamacenow and then Nidoqueen. So those are like your top four. Ultra League, it looks like. So we've got Swampert, Obamacenow, Venusaur, Shiftry, Lapras. I would say Snorlax should be higher up in that, no?
Snorlax is ranked low, but does really well, typically.
Yeah.
So absolutely prioritize a Shadow Snorlax if you have one.
Yeah. Dino, you use Shadow Snorlax like more than anyone I know. Is it? And I think someone asked you this in the Discord as well.
Yeah, they did.
How much better is the Shadow Snorlax versus a regular one?
I've used both of them actually in Ultra League. The difference is actually, you can notice a difference. I believe if you're like, for example, going against like a Lapras as a lead, you know, typically whenever I'm playing Ultra League and the lead is Lapras, I go straight for Superpower with my Shadow Snorlax. So I think it does about, I want to say like 40-45% on it as a Shadow. And I'm pretty sure, you know, if you do the math right, it's a huge difference. And for me, like it almost hitting half health of Lapras, it helps me just switch out to my Kingdra and then, you know, kind of sort of farm it down or, you know, kind of lower it as much as possible. But I noticed it's a huge difference and it does help, at least in the team that I'm using. And I think it does help overall with it being a Shadow versus regular.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I tried to run your team in Ultra League once, but I don't have a Shadow Snorlax for Ultra. And it just didn't work the same. Like, I think I remember I told you I lost a match or lost a match and you were like, you should have won that.
Yeah.
And then you asked me if it was Shadow and I said even, no. And
even the licks, you know, the lick is a huge, it helps a lot. For example, like if for some reason, versus like a Trevenant, it helps it, you know, especially the fact that Body Slam and Superpower doesn't do anything to it. You basically are dependent on the fast move. Meltdown on like ghost Pokemon. So I think it helps a lot, especially with the fast move damage is mainly one of the other things too.
Awesome.
For Master League, I think outside of legendaries, what else? Mamoswine probably.
For Shadow?
Gyarados, yeah. Gyarados, Dragonite, anything else other than those three, really?
Yeah, I actually saw
Magnezone. I mentioned that before.
I actually saw a Shadow Snorlax in Master League.
Really?
Yeah, I was really confused. I did see. I actually do prefer the regular Snorlax in Premier Classic for Masters over the Shadow one, in at least for that. I think I did see a Shadow Dragonite, I don't think I saw like any other shadows besides maybe Gyarados.
So there's one on here that is interesting, and it's funny because I've been sitting. I have 100% like regular one that I have in like a tag for like ones I want to build for Master League, and I don't know if I want to do it, but it's ranked 34 overall in Open Master and then rank 40 in Master League Classic. And then I'm trying to see where, and ranked 16 in Premier, and that's Gardevoir. Very interesting Pokemon in Master League format.
It's funny you mentioned that, because when right before Exile Candies came out, I actually did build a non shadow Gardevoir, and it was very underwhelming, just because I was trying to build at the moment there was really no other charmers besides Togekiss, so I was trying to take away the flying of like part of it and using a charmer, but it just didn't work out for me. Maybe the shadow would probably do better. These are like one of the Pokemons that you want more attack, and you don't like, you really don't care too much about the defense. So it kind of reminds me of more of like a Granbull and like Master League.
Yeah. So here is, at least according to PV Pokes, their ranking difference. So Shadow Gardevoir in open is ranked 34. Your normal one is ranked 74. It's a pretty big difference. In Classic, it's ranked, Shadow is ranked 40, Regular is 91. And then
I think it goes back to the very similar issue as Machamp, where Gardevoir's defense is already so low that 20% doesn't hurt it, but its attack is so high that it really, really helps it.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting, because that was when I was trying to figure out a Master League team, and we'll talk about it when we get into GBL. There was another Pokemon that I'm used to using in Great League and Ultra League that is slowly starting to make its way into Master League as an XL. That's called a tease, and you'll hear about that in the GBL section. so that's what's going on with the Rocket event. So make sure you get that done. And then we have coming up on a very important day, November 15th, Monday, is the event for the Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. On the 16th. Then what's on the 15th that I read?
I don't know.
Oh, the Avatar items. Avatar items will be available. Okay. I was too far down. So it's the 16th. So it's the day after. Now the game comes out on the 19th, which I already pre-ordered. I'm excited for it.
Have you been following the spoilers at all?
No.
There is none.
Not so much.
There is none.
It is, as far as I've seen so far, a true faithful remake.
Awesome. Okay. I never had this one for the Game Boys, so I'm excited to play this. It'll be the first time I've ever played it. So
same.
So that's gonna start Tuesday the 16th at 10 a.m. It'll run through the 21st at 8 p.m. local time. We are going to have half hatch distance for regular incubators, and then 1/3 in super incubators. So you guys can
already are faster. So they're I can't do that math. It can't be done.
No, I can't do it.
It's too late. I can't do it
either. Dino would be the one who could do it. And if he says it's too late, then no.
Time has changed, and I don't feel like doing math tonight.
Yeah. There's going to be a bunch of costume Pokemon. Now, you know how we feel about costume Pokemon. Unless it's the ones that we say that can't be evolved, but then we find out later that it can be evolved. I believe none of these can be evolved. They're hats. And it's your starters. So you got Turtwig, Chimchar, Piplup. Those will be in... These are all going to be in the wild, correct? Yes.
Yes.
So... Those three will be wearing either Lucas's hat or Don's hat. So it's the same ones, just wearing different hats, and they can all be shiny.
And it's dependent upon the time of the event. So the event is, like a lot of recent ones, split into two parts.
Okay. So first part is running to, did they say how long it's going to run? I don't see that in
here. The first part is the 16th through the 18th.
Okay.
And then 18th through the 21st will be the second part.
Oh, okay.
And it's then, a little further down the page.
Yeah, why don't they put this in order of things? Like, what did you figure that's at the top of the page?
Well, because everything currently is for the entire event that you're reading.
Yeah, well, they talk about the event starting on the 16th, and then your next thing down here is the avatar items that start on the 15th. Maybe they want you to read from the bottom up. There we go. That's it. Good job. You're going to have collection challenge. Now, if you complete the collection challenge, it's 1,000 XP and 3,000 Stardust. And you'll encounter Frostlass. So worth it this time. I've done them just so I can get the badge because I'm like weird like that. But I'll take 3,000 Stardust and a Frostlass. So then avatar items, hats, and things. Onesies, if you like wearing the onesie.
Paid onesies for Turtwig, Chimchar, and Piplup. I hate that the Chimchar is so cute. I will not pay for it, but the Chimchar one is really cute.
Yeah. Now, the following avatar items will be available at no cost. It's a bunch of hats and pants and shirts. You can go on the thing. I'll put the link to look at it. It's not anything that's going to make you better. So
it's the full Sinnoh trainer attire.
Yeah. Yeah. So the following bundles will be available in the shop. So we're going to have an event box, which will have 20 Pokeballs and one Sinnoh stone. And then the great box. Now it says for the event box, it says one time exchange. So I'm assuming that's a one Pokecoin.
Or no, it will free. Be. I think it'll be a free box.
Okay,
but you can only redeem it once.
Okay. And then your great box is 300 Poke coins, and you can only get it once. It looks like it says so. You got to. You're gonna get three super incubators, two regular incubators, and then one lure module. That one's not bad, actually.
That's a really good price boxed, honestly.
Yeah, because. Normally what the adventure box is like $14.50 or something like that. The one that has like the 16 in there. So that's good. So now it breaks down into two parts at the bottom of this website. So part one starts on the 16th through the 18th, like Wildcat said. And this is going to be our brilliant diamond. So I'm going to just run through the encounters. We've got in the wild, Seal, Murkrow, Poochyena, Aeron, Turtwig, Chimchar, Piplup, Bidoof, Cricketot, Banary, and Stunky. And then it says, if you're lucky, you might encounter the following: Scyther, Larvitar, Weasel.
Like a weasel, but with a B.
And Burmy, don't get excited. It's the plant cloak. It is not trash.
You actually want trash sometimes.
Yeah, this is the one time you want trash. All of those can be shiny. I think the only thing in all of these encounters that can't be shiny is Stunky, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I'm reading this right.
Okay. I see a couple good encounters here. I mean, you got Seal has got some PvP relevance. Mm-hmm. Aeron has a little bit of PvP relevance. Stunky, Scyther, Larvitar. You got a few decent spawns for once.
Yeah. I think Seal would probably be the one I would kind of go after the hardest.
Yeah. It would be like Seal and Stunky out of like the two. And then
yeah.
you sometimes have some people using Hunchcrow. So. There's that too.
Yeah. But with Seal, for like newer players who maybe don't have a dugong, I know that was like something that when I started doing PvP was really hard for me to get because it wasn't around that much. And then the one
you
I
don't
did,
live somewhere that it's cold, but you own so many sweaters.
Because my house, if Pokemon spawned based on the temperature of your home, I'd be in nothing but like ice Pokemon.
Dude,
but it doesn't.
Me too.
It doesn't. So unfortunately, I don't get a lot of Seals. The one dugong I have, I got from a trade. and it's not great IVs, but I already used an elite TM for fast end charge, so it's gonna work. So there's that. Raids, I'm gonna see, let's see, we got Kranidos, Drifloom, Bronzer, which is good, Gible, that's gonna be in our 1-star, 3-star, Tyranitar, Lopunny, Drapion, Toxicroak, and Gallade. And your 5-star is Cresselia. Cresselia is coming back with Grass Knot.
Finally.
Finally, and honestly, an awesome raid pool overall.
Mm-hmm. No, this is really good because these fully evolved ones are guaranteed XL, right?
Yeah. There's so many good ones there. Like, I know, unfortunately, like I had like so much expectation for Kranidos when it first came out. I know a lot of people use the last evolution, which I can't remember. What's the last of
Rampardos?
Like, a lot of people use that for PvE, right? For raiding. I actually kind of,
it's the highest rock type attacker in the game.
Yeah. And it just lacks moves, right? The move pool is not the greatest.
It lacks bulk is the bigger problem.
Yeah.
It has rock, I think it's Smackdown Rock Throw.
Yeah.
So it has decent moves, it just has zero bulk.
Yeah. So like that's one I kind of need in like as a shiny. I know that Drifloon is a good one. Bronzor, some people, I can't ever get enough of Gible because, you know, some people actually need it still for maybe Master League. So the XL is nice. You also have Drapion, Toxicroak, and Gallade that are a lot of people using. I personally wouldn't go for Tyranitar or Lopunny. So, but then again, you know, what if?
If you want a Lopunny, do the mega raid because you're going to get more rewards from the raid.
Exactly. Yeah. He has a good point. And then, of course, like for me, Cresselia is probably like going to be the one I'll most likely be doing. But I think we even talked about this before. Probably through GBL is better with it, right? For the CP? Or it doesn't matter?
It'll be the same through both. Both will be a level 20. And at level 20, it's 10, 10, 10. It'll be 1555, just above Great League.
Yeah, I think I get so many legendary Pokemon through GBL. I think I'm just gonna do it through there and use the passes for the other ones that we have there because there's a lot of good Pokemon there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Dean, you said Tyranitar. I mean, unless you are like a raider, like a big raider, and you want a perfect one, the Drapion. I like the Drapion one because I've seen a lot of Drapion XL in Ultra League. And it's just as good as it is in Great League in Ultra League because those Aqua Tails just come so quick.
I think it's a little better actually because it has a lot more bulk.
Mm. Yeah. It's crazy. I hated seeing it. Even though I knew I could beat it, I just hated seeing it because of how many Aqua Tails it's going to get off. Your mega raid is Mega Lopunny. Eggs. So your 7K eggs, we were talking about this actually earlier too, is going to be pretty good. And the good thing is it's global. So nothing's going to be region locked. So you're going to have Bidoof, Bonsly, Hapni, Mime Jr., and Riolu. And all of them can be shiny.
Mime Jr. global release. That is exciting.
Yeah. I know that's a lot of probably a few people's missing entries in here, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I have one that I got traded from one of my friends that lives in Europe that came back to the States for a little while. I will say what I'm really shocked by is all of these are quote unquote one egg rarity, which means they all should be just as rare as each other. Mm-hmm. This is the first time that Riolu has been the one egg rarity. Every other time it's been in eggs, it's been two or three rarity. So this may be your chance to get a shiny Riolu finally.
Yeah. Now, very important to understand is don't start stocking up your 7K eggs now because you're not if you have a 7K egg already, you're not getting the new Pokemon, you're going to have whatever Pokemon are in the pool on the day that you get that egg. So wait until the 10 a.m. on the 16th to start opening those gifts to get those eggs. And then you'll have those in there for as long as you need them if you're on like a single incubator or if, you know, whatever. So you have those there. Very important. I've done that many of times.
Actually, that has me questioning something. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the community did a quarter hatch distance will stack with the half / third for the overall event, or if they're going to override the half and third.
They normally,
because community day happens during this.
Yeah. I know like with the Stardust rewards, they, if like they're doing what, three times Stardust, they don't let you do five times. Like if there's two Stardust events going on.
They have sometimes and have not others.
I think maybe with the hatch ones, they'll do it because they want you to walk. I mean, this would be like the one I would say like they would be all for, like
they want you to walk in air quotes.
Yeah.
They want you to buy incubators.
Yeah. They want you to buy incubators. Exactly. and then the field research, Bagon, Turtwig, Chimchar, Piplup. Now, this is where you can get your Wormadant, your trash Burmy, and a Sandy Cloak Burmy. Now, do we know what those researchers are yet? No,
yeah. I haven't went looking for them yet. We won't know for them until a week from now.
Okay. If you're lucky, there's going to be one for Shieldon, and you can get a shiny.
Why does it have to be if you're lucky for Shieldon? I need so many XL candy still.
I was going to say that too.
Yeah. I think I still need like 100, and I'm already in like the 1400s, and it's best buddied. Like, it's stupid. Like, that last little bit, how many more like XL candy they try and get you for. It's so sad. So then the second part will start on the 18th. This is for the Shining Pearl. So let's just bust through these really quick. And if there's something that pops out, you guys stop me. Cause I don't really see anything. We've got Wild Encounters, Pinsir, Mysterious, Houndour, Sfeel, Turtwig, Chimchar. I see you guys laugh.
I'm laughing because you literally sounded like a Pokemon for a second.
Sfeel? Bidoof, Kricketot, Banary, and Glammeow. If you're lucky, you might encounter the following: Slowpoke, Bagon, Buizel, and Sandycloak Burmy. So they are locking up trash in research. Raids, one star, you've got Shieldon. There you go, Wildcat.
Woohoo!
Shieldon, Drifloom, and Bronzer. Three stars, Salamence, Lopunny, Drapion, Toxicroak, Gallade. Five star is still Cresselia, and Megaraid is still Mega Lopunny. The 7K eggs are the same with the same rarities. Your field research is the same, except they're switching out the Sandy Cloak Burmy for Plant Burmy. But your trash is still in only research encounters.
You want to bet us that Burmy will be a grab bag, so you won't be guaranteed to get trash even when you do a Burmy research?
They would do that. Yeah. Honestly, with like this, as soon as I get one, I really am not gonna try and like delete it because I don't have good IVs. Like, I'm just gonna keep it and have it because there's been what now, two cups where that thing has been super relevant. Like, it is what it is. Like, I'm getting it, it's done. Maybe I'll save one and meet up with Dino one day and trade it and see, but I'm not gonna try and push my luck.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hate it because like before you wouldn't even think to like save candies for that. Even for any of those Burmese, it would help you for the candies. No, they all have like the same.
Mm-hmm.
They all share the same.
All candy, the same candy. So
yeah.
Even if you don't per se catch the trash one, and you have a trash PIV, you know, with good IVs, you know, just catch any of the random ones or collect as much field research as possible for that.
Mm-hmm. So it's also important to note that Burmese evolution is split based on gender. So just because you catch a trash Burmese doesn't mean it's going to actually turn into a Wormadam trash.
Hmm.
If it is a male, it actually becomes Motham, and you need a female to be Wormadam trash.
I would think it was the other way around. That's so crazy.
I'm looking at the chart now because I had to make sure.
Because I always think about, like, what was the other one? There's another one that's like a cocoon. I forget. It turns to Beautifly, right?
Or Wurmple. Sweet Coon? But that is not
Wurmple?
Sweet Silcoon. Oh,
yeah, that one. I forget.
But that one is random.
Oh, it's random.
Wurmple into those are random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you were looking for a female trash Burmese. So just take your needs and just keep having them as you go.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's even worse. Just imagine.
It just gave me a headache.
Yeah. Just imagine just you get the trash finally and it's not the gender that you want.
I had one that would have been a rank 3. That was a male.
See what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't even matter. They're just like messing with you at that point.
Yeah. Ugh. Such a tease. I think that's it for news, right? Yeah. Is there anything I missed or anything important?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit of news this week.
Yeah, just a little. So let's go over to GBL. We'll kind of discuss what's going on in there real quick. And then we have a brand new Wildcat Dad's Pokemon Factor Crap to do. So I want to get to that, and then we got a bunch of questions. So let's burn through GBL right now.
Fight!
All right. So today at 4 p.m. our time, whatever your time change is wherever you are, we are now in Master League, Open Master League, and then Master League Premier Classic and the Kanto Cup. I have not played either one because I did all my sets, but I have, I was watching, was it, I am gonna mess it, Tactical? Yeah. That.
Theotechnical? Is that
Theotechnical? Theotechnical, I think. Theotechnical. Something like that. I think we're all just messing it up, and then we're just going to be made fun of like the last time, so it's all good.
Yeah. So he actually put out a video he put out two videos, one going over the Kanto Cup and then some of the teams, and then Master League Premier Classic. Going over some of those teams, those Pokemon, and then he kind of put together like little teams there. I knew he did a stream today. I did not get a chance to watch it to see what he was running. So some of the ones that he was going over, at least for Premier Classic, I thought was pretty interesting. It looks like, of course, if you don't have a Metagross, you need to have a counter for it because this thing is going to be absolutely everywhere, right, Dino?
Okay, so that's what I initially thought. At least, okay, keep in mind the ELO, right? Mm-hmm. So in my ELO, and the weird thing is, as I was dropping,
remind people where you're at.
I was okay. I mean, I could tell you guys, which I was at 32, I think, at the beginning of the day, and now I'm like at 3100. I dropped like about 100 points. So from there, the lower I started to go down, I saw more Gyarados. More Gyarados, and it makes a lot of sense. I don't think, if you guys correct me if I'm wrong, there was no crunch at the time where in season 4, correct? There's no way.
There was crunch, but it didn't have the debuff along with it, so it wasn't as popular.
And there was no Aqua Tail, though. There was no Aqua Tail.
I
there in season 4, because we're in season 9.
I think there was, actually. I think because Magikarp was late 2019, early 2020 Community Day, so it should have been there already.
Okay, because I don't recall Aquatel being a thing, but I could be wrong. It just seems like it Gyarados was a lot more spammier than it was back then. So with that crunch for Metagross, and it does a lot because Metagross is not that bulky. So I saw more of a combinations between Excadrill and Gyarados. I don't know if Wild.
Okay, you are right, Daniel. August 8th was Magic, or 2020 was Magikarp Community Day.
Yeah.
So I don't think Aquatel would have been there.
Yeah, no,
yet.
It wasn't. So this is what made Gyarados like a lot more popular this time around. And I'm a little confused because I know that at least in Ultra League, Gyarados beats Dragonite no problem. But in here, I guess because it's all the way up to level 40, Dragonite actually can beat Shadow Gyarados. And so does Machamp, which I'm a little confused in that one just because I led into a Gyarados and I lost. Maybe I misplaced somewhere, but I thought it was interesting. Maybe it was just because it was in the shadow, but definitely Gyarados and Excadrill, which I didn't think I would see. I've been seeing a lot of those, as well as Metagross would be in the third ones I see the most.
I think Excadrill is popular because it is a good Metagross counter that doesn't take any super effective damage from Charmers. So your other popular Metagross counter is typically Garchomp, but Garchomp dies very quickly to a Charmer. So it gives you something to hit back against a Metagross without worrying about Charmers.
Gotcha. And you're playing Kanto, though, yourself, right?
I had a little fun in Kanto today. So I am up to the highest I've ever been in an ELO. I'm at 31-41. I broke out a meme team just for some fun. Shadow Hypno with Focus Blast, Shadow Nidoqueen, Shadow Lapras. I apologize if you got matched up against me up front because I know how annoying that team is. First set went 4-1, got up to 31-41. Next set went 1-3-1. So I'm sitting at 31-07, 31-19, something like that right now. I don't know if I'll take it more serious heading forward because now that I've hit my top, I don't foresee myself being able to get leaderboard, especially with Kanto Cup and Master League Classic Premier. Those are just not my best metas. So I may keep playing a little mem team stuff, but overall I'm having fun with it. I can definitely tell you Shadow Hypno is not as good as regular Hypno in Kanto Cup.
Interesting.
You need the extra bolt.
I did try out also Kanto, and I did see more regular Hypnos than Shadows.
I would have had a 5-0 too. I got paired up against a Lickitung with me having an energy lead on it and at full health and had two shields. I get the Focus Blast. I'm like, I wonder if they shield this. Because I could throw three Thunder Punches or a Focus Blast. If I would have thrown the three Thunder Punches, I won the match.
Oh, my.
And yeah. I decided to throw the Focus Blast, hoping that maybe they would think I was baiting and try to call it.
That's unfortunate.
It sucked.
Yeah.
I lost by one HP.
Oof. That's always tough. So for Kanto Cup, did you see, because you guys are playing in Legend Elo, so if people were to have this Pokemon, I would assume it'd be people in your guys' range. Did you see any Chansey or Lickitung? And
I saw a Chansey Lickitung team.
Well, that's something that that's what he was saying is some people are actually going to be running basically a Nidoqueen Chansey Lickitung team. Which
exact team I saw.
Absolutely disgusting.
I beat the crap out of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Skull Bash on Lapras does about 30% to a Chansey. But once you hit that second Skull Bash, Chansey's doing nothing. And then you can just Ice Shard it all the way down and have a ton of energy for whatever comes in next. And then Nidoqueen with the poison jabs just builds up so much defense buff so quickly that you can actually win it. So I got lucky in that matchup, and then the lead was my Shadow Hypno into their Nidoqueen, which is just a very bad matchup for them. So I was able to play with my switches and things to kind of keep up and win that one, but it was still stupidly annoying.
Interesting. So one of the Pokemon in the Kanto Cup that I saw that was interesting, but it wasn't relevant the last time, was Pidgeot. So Pidgeot is actually in here at like number 10 on PV Pokes rankings. I think it's because one of its key wins here is Lickitung, and it does beat Hypno in a one shield. I'd have to see it. The battle rating is 580, so it's like right in the middle, because the thunder punches could add up depending on how fast they can get to it. And then it does beat Lapras and then Snorlax. So it has good wins there. It is going to lose pretty badly to your Alola Ninetales, your Dewgong. And I think what it says it loses to Nidoqueen and Alolan Muk and then Dragonair. You, Wildcat, you've used Pidgeot probably the most out of us. So explain why it's losing to Nidoqueen and to Muk.
Poison Jab, Acid Spray, the defense buffs. While it is bulky, by that second or third debuff, it's just getting melted.
Okay. It's saying Feather Dance, Brave Bird. I know you're very big on Aerial Ace. Is this
weird? I just don't like 2x debuffs on my Pokemon. So Brave Bird is better in a no shield situation. 100%, 100 out of 100 times you want Brave Bird in that situation. I'll be frankly honest, I tend to have my Pidgeot in when there's still some sort of shields up. And at that point, a Brave Bird is just going to cost you a match.
Yeah.
That's my two cents on it.
Okay.
It's a nuke for a reason.
Yeah. So one of the Pokemon that I like that I'm probably... There was two teams that he was mentioning for his Kanto Cup that he thought, but one of the Pokemon in there that he had mentioned, especially if you don't have a Nidoqueen or you don't want to run a Nidoqueen or the Chansey and Lickitung, is Alolan Sandslash with the Steel Ice typing. Now, what I thought was interesting is he said, don't run Bulldoze, run Triple Ice.
I can agree with that, actually, because there's just not a lot that Bulldoze is going to hit super effectively in this meta versus having an Ice Nuke move can really pay off. I can say I've seen in my 10 battles in Kanto today, I think I've seen 5 Alolan Sandslashes. So it's a pretty popular pickup in the Legendary area.
Mm-hmm. There's not... The thing that I think makes it viable is the fact that there's only two fighters you're probably going to see in this, and that's Machamp or Primate. And with how relevant Hypno is, I don't think you're going to see a lot of it. And then with
you just don't want to see fire. That's the bigger issue is your Alola Marowak.
Yeah. And then you got a lot of poison that makes that neutral or resist. It resists the fighting. So I think that's why Sandslash and the Sandshrew and Sandslash, if you have either one. I think Sandslash is still ranked a little higher than the Sandshrew.
I faced a team with both on them. It sucked.
That's nuts. So this is why. So this was kind of one of the reasons I asked you guys this question earlier about the running an Alolan and a Kanto version of the same Pokemon. And Dino let me know that it can't be done, even though technically even though they give it the same Pokedex number, like it's two different Pokemon.
Yeah,
it's not the same
Pokemon. I thought the same thing because I was like, oh my god, I got this good line I can use in Ultra League. I think it was for my all account. And I decided to try to use Muk and Alolan Muk. And it just said
It said no.
And it makes sense because, I mean, technically it's a Kanto Cup, but Alolan Pokemon are not Kanto. So to me, it makes sense.
Yeah, it also makes sense because all the bans and that kind of logic behind the scenes is done based on Pokedex number. So could they make it a little smarter, make it possible? Yes, but at the same time, I think you would actually cause an imbalance in the metas if you do that.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. So there was two teams that I sent you guys. Did you guys get a chance to look at them?
I did. I don't remember what they are off the top of my head.
Yeah, no. So one of them was Hypno, Alolan Muk, and Alolan Sandslash. And then the other one was the Kanto Ninetales, Dragonair, and then Poliwrath with Ice Punch on it.
I don't like either of them. They both sound very mean.
Explain why you think they sound very mean.
They're specifically built to counter my team.
So yeah, that was those two teams are ones that he came up with just, you know, looking at the meta. Obviously the videos came out before. And he made a good point was there's going to be a ton of Nidoqueen. Like you need to have an encounter for Nidoqueen and something for Hypno. Because if you don't, they're going to smoke your teens. So, you know, having that there and then the steel typing for Sandslash is what really, like, it helps a whole lot. It gives it a lot more resistance.
Is it the only steel in this? Other than Magnezone line?
Yeah, well, it's only, what is it? The Magneton is the most it can
Magneton
go.
Magneton and Magmamite.
Yeah.
So. And those aren't really useful.
Yeah.
I forgot. Alolan Dugtrio is part steel.
Is that even on here?
Who's that?
Yeah. It's rank 125.
Jesus.
Oh, man. You know, I have a really good one. And I always was like, man, I wish this thing was good. So it does. So the steel resistance. So it's only going to be weak to fighting, fire, ground. But the fire and fighting are huge, huge weaknesses. But because of the typing, you're resisting poison, you're resisting psychic, you're resisting normal, you're resisting grass, flying, dragon, fairy, bug, and ice.
I don't like that Pokemon. And it may just be because I don't have one.
Really? Huh.
Not one that would be under the 1500.
See all those gifts that we're really bad at? This is where they would come in handy.
No, because a hatched one, I believe, evolves either really close or over 15. Is it not?
Mm-mm. the one I have was hatched.
Maybe it's just I don't want to build one that has bad PvP IVs.
That would make more sense.
That would make more sense there. Got to keep that 6 million.
I'm thinking Alolan Muk. Alolan Muk hatches above. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I think that one's definitely going to be on my team. I think I'm going to stick with that, like, Alolan Muk Sandslash type, that combination there, really kind of cuts down on a lot of the need to worry about some of these top ones.
Yeah, no, I really do like Alolan Sandslash for this because I saw a lot of Hypnos, a lot of Nidoqueens, a few Pidgeots, definitely a lot of Alolan Muks. But the thing is, like, for me, a Surf, I did because I was using Shadow Lapras and I hit a Surf on the Alolan Sandslash, and it's neutral, but it still does a lot because it's. Alolan Sandslash is very fragile.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does about 45% or so, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I was just like, okay, I mean, I'm going to stay in because they were running bulldoze, and I think if they had I feel like even if they had gyro ball, like they had, I think it would have done a lot more. Even though it's a high energy attack, I feel because it would have been neutral because of the ice typing. So I don't know. I feel like bulldoze is still like a bad move, and so is gyro ball. But I probably, if I did run this Pokemon, I would run gyro ball over that.
Yeah. So I had mentioned before earlier in the show, a Pokemon that I had been seeing when I was building teams for Master League, just of what I had and seeing. And it's surprised me that it shows up in the list of, like, you know, when you go into Team Builder, you put your Pokemon in and then it'll give you the list of, like, the top in the meta. And this one is actually in there, even though it's ranked pretty low. But when I did some more research in it, the wins that it gets are pretty, pretty good. And that is an XL Gengar.
Interesting.
Right? So if you go to your team builder on PV Poke and go into Master League, I believe in Master League Premier Classic to build your team, Gengar shows up in the top ones in there.
Well, it wouldn't be XL then, because Classic is no XL.
That's in the XLs for Master League. So that one comes in at 94. It's a little higher in Premier, but still at 94 for Gengar. So here's in open its wins: Togekiss, Giratina Origin, Lugia, Metagross, and Mewtwo Shadow.
That's some good wins.
Right? it loses to Dialga, Gyarados, Mewtwo, Dragonite, and Yveltal. And the ones that it does lose to, Gyarados is the only one I see on here that maybe you could flip, but the other ones, it's, you're gonna lose bad.
Possibly Mewtwo as well. I feel like if you have energy, I feel like you can flip that too. Yeah. The other ones, Dialga just completely wrecked.
Yeah. It's interesting that I guess maybe because the Shadow Mewtwo is not as defensive.
It's very classy.
Yeah. Okay.
Very classy.
Yeah. Cause I was like, how does it lose to a normal one, but then beats?
As someone that has a Hundo Shadow Mewtwo, it is very classy.
Okay.
And for someone that's used it in Kanto, I can tell you it is very classy as well.
Yeah. Yep. So I have 100% Gengar that I want to. It doesn't have Shadow Punch on it. But Elite it just PM? it took me back that, like, Gengar normally, like, we only think about it in Ultra and Great League, and then I'm looking through some of the, like, the list of these XL for Master. Like, you've got an XL Lowen Sandslash, you've got XL Gengar, like, some of these ones now are starting to pop up, and, like, an XL Gardevoir, like, in Master League, you know? Like, they're popping up, but they're also, a lot of these are a lot more accessible than they used to be. Like, with how many times, like, Gastly has been floating around, like, I have enough, like, XL candy from it.
Yeah, actually, Gengar was my first ever Hundo, and I actually have a second one as well.
Hmm.
Like, that's how common Gastly is.
Yeah. So, that's one I was looking at. It was just something that it stuck out to me when I was looking at it, and I was like, what the hell is this thing doing here? Like, at first I thought I put the wrong league in.
Oh.
And then it just was there.
I was gonna say, because, like, I mean, to me, like, I feel like Gengar would be like someone like kind of like Swampert you use in every league. Even if you look Swampert in open Master League, it's like in the 40s or 50s. So, I mean, Gengar is not what in the 90s in open. So I feel like it's still doable and usable, and nobody would expect it. So,
yeah, I'm looking at that. I can't believe it's ranked 30 in Master League Premier Classic. That is insane.
Yeah.
Beating Metagross, Togekiss, Gyarados, Machamp, and Mamoswine. Wow.
Yeah.
You said Gyarados? I think I may need to build that.
Yeah.
Not Shadow Gyarados. Regular Gyarados.
I seen more regular Gyarados than I did Shadow.
Really?
Which is funny because, I mean, if you think about it, not a lot of people want to build a level 40 that's not maybe Hundo. It's harder to come by with a Shadow.
I wonder if come next week you'll see more of them because of the Rocket event.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Maybe people are sitting on those. Did you see his attack stat in Premier Classic? 218. It's insane.
That's the definition of a glass cannon.
Yeah. Yeah. 134 stamina and then 129 defense. That is the epitome of that. That is the definition dictionary picture next to it. That Shadow Ball is going to be insane. Like
that is, I really want to use it, but I'm still seeing like a good amount of, I think I'm sold on it. I think I may try it tomorrow.
So it's not incredibly expensive depending on what CP you have it at. So I believe mine at Evolution is above 1500. I believe it's only 200 and for Premier Classic, like 200,000.
I already have my level, my Hundo at level 40.
You're going to roll that out?
I may have to give it a shot.
Yeah. And of course, you know, as always, like me and Dina preach, Shadow Ball is the appropriate and right move, not Sludge Bomb.
Just make sure you have something for Snorlax.
Yeah. You definitely got to pair it with something that's going to take care of Snorlax because, oof, that's going to be no bueno for you.
Oof. The problem is the one, my Hundo that I don't have power up is the one with Shadow Punch. So it would cost me either an elite TM.
Don't you have like,
or a lot of dust?
Don't you have like 100 elite TMs, like one from every box?
I have like four.
That's the only thing you're not stingy with.
I refuse to pay for the boxes that have them in it. So I only have the ones I get from GBL rewards.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
So an elite TM or 270,000 Stardust.
See. Okay. So what is the CP on that Gengar?
2878 at level 40.
Okay. And then the one that you have to power up?
Would be 2870. They're both hundreds.
No. Where is it at right now?
Oh, 214.
214. Yeah. So that's not bad. So,
I mean, it's a lot of power-ups, but...
It's a lot of power-ups when it's candy and when it comes to candy, but compared to some other ones, like, that Stardust is not a whole bunch.
It's not a level 50 Stardust requirement.
No, I don't even. I think even at level 50, it's not that bad. I think it's like 300,000.
Oof, that's bad.
All right, so everyone, when you hear this on Wednesday, tag Wildcat and make sure that he does it. No. Come on.
I'll stick to Kanto.
I think Dino's going to do it. I think he's going to surprise us.
Wait, surprise him with what?
With the Gengar.
What about if I said I already did it?
Did you? That's going to be awesome. We're going to need videos of that.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because I was just looking right now real quick while you guys were discussing that, and I have a Gengar that's a Hundo, right? But the issue is that it does not have Shadow Punch. And then I have a lucky one that is 15, 13, 15. So I'm like, it's already a glass cannon. It's a lucky. So I'm like.
And it has Shadow Punch?
And it has Shadow Punch.
Yeah.
So I powered it up.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna test it out.
I'm excited.
Set some dust on fire.
The good thing, I was very surprised because with the other one, I couldn't power it up because, you know, I have no dust. And then with this one, I was able to power up and second move it. So I was like, yep, sold me on it.
Done. Nice. All right. So, yeah, that's GBL. I actually took notes and put our timestamp. So, JD Mojo Jojo, you'll be able to find these teams where they are. Go me. Yay. Let's move. We got two more things to do. One is one I'm looking forward to. It is Wildcats Fact or Crap.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
You're on.
Okay, so we're going to go back to five more facts or crap. Let's see who wins tonight. The first one, Primeape is the cause of the Pokeball to be invented. Fact or crap? Dino?
I'm going to think like this is like some kind of reverse psychology crap, so I'm going to say crap.
Astro?
I'm going to go with fact. It's a very squirrely Pokemon.
It is a fact. It is due to their over-aggression that the inventor of the Pokeball in Johto using Apricorns wanted to help control the wild beast.
Interesting.
Okay. Second one. Nidoran female can breed, but its evolutions cannot. Fact or crap? Astro.
Fact.
Dino.
I'm going to go with fact as well.
This is a fact. So, unlike its counterpart, Nidoran male, Nidorana, and Nidoking, the middle evolution of Nidoqueen cannot breed. From Pokelore, it is believed that they may technically be a clone Pokemon, very similar as part of the rocket experiments to Mewtwo and Ditto.
Interesting.
Okay. Zubat has appeared in every main series game. Fact or crap? Dino.
Fact.
Astro.
God, I feel like there's one that it's not in, but I haven't played them all. I'm still up one, so I'm going to go with crap.
That is a fact. It would have been crap had it not been for the DLC of Sword and Shield. Sword and Shield base game was the first time Zubat had not appeared as part of a spawnable Pokemon. But when they added the DLC, it was added to the spawn pool.
That's
so we are tied at 2-2 after three questions.
That's a bullshit.
The player character, the main player of the game's father, has never been shown. Fact or crap? Astro.
Fact.
Dino. Crap. It is crap.
Come on, Dino, Astro.
Dino. Come on, which game, Dino? Do you know that?
No, but it just sounded familiar because
Ruby and Sapphire are the only games that they showed the father of the main player. And part of that story is you actually fight your father as a gym leader throughout the storyline.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I forget his name, what the gym leader is, too.
I couldn't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we are, the last one. Dino is up 3 to Astro's 2. Arcanine was supposed to be the third legendary Pokemon of Red and Blue. Fact or crap? Dino.
Fact.
Astro.
It was supposed to be the third?
Mm-hmm. Of the legendary trio.
That wouldn't mean... It wouldn't make sense. Because the other two are birds. So why would it be two birds and a dog?
So what are you saying?
I'm going to say it's crap.
Sorry, sir. Ugh. You have been dominated. Ugh. It is a fact. So originally Arcanine was part of the legendary trio, but was demoted for the inclusion of Moltres. This is why, if you look at Arcanine's Pokedex entry, it is called the legendary Pokemon. It was demoted for Moltres. Dino, congratulations. You have just beat the pants off Astro this week. 4-2.
I mean, when you think about it, like, it's a dog and the other two are birds.
You know what's crazy? How does that make any sense? They mentioned that, I think, in the anime, if I'm not mistaken. They mentioned
it was mentioned in the anime.
He was supposed to be what, like a mythical, or he's like a legendary. I don't know what it was.
Yep.
But they mentioned
it is the reason this Pokedex classification is the legendary Pokemon.
Gotta
look at those Pokedex entries, Astro. Come on.
I only look at the ones where they're killing people.
I had a couple more of those in this week's that I could have chose from as well. I will also add, if you have any random Pokemon facts that I can source check, of course, and you would like them to be featured in one of our next segments of Fact or Crap, feel free to send me a DM on Discord. Unfortunately, I can't offer up a Twitter or any other way to get a hold of it because I'm an old person that only has Discord.
And you can't send it to the show one because then we'll know.
No, because then they'll see.
So, all right. That was Wildcat's Fact or Crap.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
It's a good thing I can edit out all those gaps when I forget. I turned it down with the cheering and then forgot to turn it back up for the music. You guys laugh, but wait till you have to run the show one day, Wildcat.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that part.
So, all right. So we are at our last part of the show, our question and answers. So let's do that.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right. So before we start, you can send the show your questions either through our Discord in the You Want Answers channel, or you can message us on Twitter or email us at our show email, which we give at the end of the show. So first question here comes from La Fleur. This was a topic, like, I think for like 2 days we talked about this in the Discord. So Wildcat runs a 05 set and drops 73 points. I run an 05 set and drop 94 points. Why? Why such a big difference? The system seems this system should not be that hard to figure out. There must be some kind of underlying math that I can't wrap my head around. No one can. I completely agree. It should be as simple as X amount of points per win, X amount of points per loss. Same values, same variables. We had this discussion. I think we all talked about it. I think the one thing that someone brought up was the points are based on the caliber of player that you beat or lose to.
PvP Steve did mention, and it is true. Now, I'm not discounting the question because I do understand his sentiment, but the way the formula works is it takes into account this elo of the person you beat or win against and weights that against the overall formula. Now, what that overall formula is, your guess is as good as mine.
So
do you know anything to add there?
So for me, the best way to do this, and it actually would take some time to figure out sort of like a formula to it. I've tried to do it sort of like the papers that you guys saw me doing. I write down how much I gain or lose per set. So one set, I can do a 3-2 and gain 19, and I get another 3-2 and I gain 13. Why would that be? And then if another thing you can start doing, if you have the time to, I try to write down occasionally, which I think I'm gonna actually try to do tomorrow. Write down the elo of the person that you're going against, and then also have it compared to what your elo is at the time for that set. So write down all of the, you'll have 5 elos basically per set, and then your elo in the top right or whatever you want to have it. So kind of see how many players above your elo did you beat or lose to, and kind of, I want to try to do this to try to figure out a formula for it. I doubt I will, but I feel like this is the best way to figure out how much you actually gain or lose because you beat people that are above you because I beat people that were above me by 150 points, and then I gain like, instead of 73 points, I gain like 80 or 82 points for a 5-0. So it makes sense.
Yeah, and there has to be some type of multiplier as well for per win. Because, for example, that same day I went 4-1 in the set before that and only gained like 35. And then an 0-5 was a minus 73. So I think the ELO system needs overall reworked, because I get that they're taking into account who you beat in that system. But the problem is you don't get a choice of who you play typically. And especially when you're up in the 3,000 plus range, that queue time some days can be 30 minutes or more. I was watching one of Rice the Occasions videos when he hit number one in the world. He waited an hour and 20 minutes for one match and got ranked with someone who was a rank four. First off, that just has to feel bad if you're the rank four person. Secondly, that wasn't his choice of playing someone that far down in ELO or that far down the ranking system. He shouldn't be penalized for winning that match, just like the person who played him shouldn't be penalized that heavily for losing that match. I think what LaFleur is talking about here of having a somewhat more simple system where it's a known quantity X or Y for wins and losses, and then you can have a if consecutive wins multiplier by 1.2 or something of that nature. So a 5-0 does still count for more than a 4-1, for example, by X percentage more. I think something like that makes it a little bit more aligned. Overall, it is what it is today. We've all been working with it since season one, so it's not like it's a big change here. It just does seem, especially as we're all getting better and playing at higher ELOs, those punishments can feel a lot worse.
Yeah. So I was kind of thinking about it the past couple of days and really kind of thought about it a lot more today and took into account, you know, what PvP Steve was saying and all the things. So what I kind of came up with is, so we have your, I guess, regular sets, and then you have your premium sets that you can use your battle pass for. To make it even, because like you were saying, we can't pick our opponents. So we can't take, you know, I don't have the option of playing people that are an expert. You know, oh, I only want to play it. Or, you know, I'm playing everyone my same level. So what I thought of was your normal set, the free set that you can do, those players are all going to be within your same rank. Not ELO, but, well, I guess ELO, but your same rank. So if you're a veteran, you're playing veterans. Now, if you are a veteran and you drop down to 2200, you're still going to play a veteran that's, you know, at 2650 or something like that. Now, if you want to, and you get the same points, like you'll get your points, you know, wins are, let's say 10 points, losses are 5 points or 15 points, however they want to do it. Now, if you want more points, then you use your premium pass, and your premium pass, you jump up a rank. So your veterans, you'll be playing expert. So you're getting a chance to choose who you're playing. You could say, hey, I just want to stay at my level and be okay with the 10 points, or for wins, you know, 15 for loss, or I want to take a risk, place people that are a rank higher than me, get 20, you know, maybe 15 points for win, but you're going to get a bigger point for losing. It's like, you know, like a risk reward type thing.
Yeah.
But it balances it out. You know what you're going to get, and it gives you the option to pick and choose what you want to do.
It's not a bad idea at all.
I like it.
Yeah. And it's, they don't really have to do much. Like it's already there.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of changing how they do the queues. And I mean, you sit in queue for an hour,
Yeah, because I was going to say, it would be like hard to find somebody that's always in your rank. But I mean, some people, like you said, Rice was already waiting an hour and a half to just be matched up with somebody with his ELO, which is going to be hard to find, you know, since he was number one. So,
and the thing that sucks about that is he probably got maybe like a 10 points for that win, but the person that lost probably got like 20, like a negative 20, which is, that's terrible. Like especially someone in like a rank 4, like, why you got to do that to them like that? Like, A, you're putting him against a legend, and then B, you're going to like hit him with that, like a huge point loss. That's, to me, that's just fucked up. So next one comes from Lyle. This one's kind of just for me. Well, maybe a wildcat. Dina, do you know? what kind of graphics card are you guys using for streaming? I'm looking to getting a computer. Not sure what I need. Not the best with computer syncs. So if you're streaming, I responded back in the Discord with this, but just for anyone who has these questions, if you're streaming Pokemon Go, you really don't need a huge elaborate video card. Your graphics cards are more for like if you're a gamer and you're playing video games on your computer, as not so much what you're putting into stream. The biggest thing for streaming or any type of like even this, like our podcast, things like that, is your internet speed and your reliability. You could have the best graphics card that money can buy, but if you're running 5 megabytes per second, your stream's still going to look like shit. Like it's not going to matter. I don't have an amazing graphics card. I think it's like a off brand from Best Buy. It was like $120 and it does awesome. Like it's fine. It works.
Yeah. I'm not rocking anything too crazy. I think I have a Quadro T1000.
Yeah.
So it's a middle of the road NVIDIA card.
Yeah. So I wouldn't, and nowadays, honestly, most of the laptops are coming with pretty decent, depending on which ones you get, they're coming with pretty decent graphics cards anyway.
Then yeah, you can buy gaming desktops already, right? I mean, I think the one I have is, I didn't put anything on it. It was just like a regular gaming desktop.
Yeah. If you're looking for a good laptop that's already got everything built in, Asus makes great gaming laptops. And they're not that expensive.
Alienware as well. And you can find Alienware, especially this time of year, for a decent price with the holidays coming.
Yeah. Yep. So that is our tech talk for the day. next question from Miami Doc. Would someone be able to make a guest appearance on the show, like someone who swept the first two custom metas for their channel? There is a very good possibility, Miami Doc, that there could be a guest appearance from somebody like that. Not sure, but there could be.
Hint, hint.
Siegel wants to know, if I don't want answers, then don't ask questions.
I don't even know.
Thanks, Siegel. Thank you, buddy.
So now Miami Doc has another actual Pokemon question. Do you all have a favorite Pokemon, and if so, why? Let's start with Wildcat. What's yours?
My favorite of all time is Charizard, because I'm an unapologetic Gen 1er. It's just what it is. Outside of Gen 1, I do also have another favorite, and it's a very recent one. Grimmsnarl looks awesome and has an amazing typing. Dark Fairy typing is just cool, and that thing looks so cool.
Interesting. I wouldn't. I guess because I never like really played that or know how it's like attacks or how it moves and stuff like that. So I really don't know how it is. But for me, like Wildcat, Gen 1, Charizard, I feel like anyone and everyone mostly is that is their favorite Pokemon. Outside of Charizard, I'm still sticking with Kanto, because you guys already know Ash, Kanto, you know, all the, you know, the same thing. I would probably say Mewtwo. So
I've said it multiple times. Charizard is my favorite all-time Pokemon. I have a tattoo. Got my little Charmander.
I like that thing. I want it.
Funko Pop. It's like the big one.
And ironically enough, you're wearing an orange.
Orange is my favorite color. But besides that, it's another Kanto, and that's Gengar.
That makes sense. So,
yeah.
Bunch of old folk Gen 1ers. Right, yeah, right? Sorry about that. Yeah. Not really.
But
not
I mean, honestly, like, so I was scrolling through like the TCG channel that we have, and someone had posted a new like artwork or an alt artwork for a Gengar card where it's like, it looks like Gengar's eating a world.
Yeah, that's the alternate art Gengar VMAX.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, I like it.
I thought that was so cool.
That's for the new.
So Dina, when are you doing a bonus cast of TCG stuff?
Huh?
When are you going to do a bonus podcast of TCG knowledge?
We'll see. We'll talk about that.
One day. So that's my neck. I have a freaking giant Charizard tattooed on my leg. So
I think you need to repost it again because it was like I first started, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll have my wife take a better picture than the one I have, because I think it's when I first got it done and it's like a video of it. So next one from Fish on a Heater. Let's see if this is a fun one. If Pokemon in the main series are all at level 5 when they hatch, how? No? Wait, we're already shaking your head. Did I read this wrong?
I'm already telling us how wrong Fish is. Sorry.
Okay. How can there be level 2, 3, and 4 Pokemon in the wild? Also, can you encounter level 1 Pokemon? If not, why don't they just make level 2 and level 1?
This is definitely a wildcat because this is like a main series game for sure. So
as someone that spent 867 eggs to get a shiny Scorbunny and a shiny Grimmsnarl, you absolutely hatched them at level 1 in the main series. So first off, sorry, Fish, you're wrong there. With gift eggs, those will hatch at level 5. So like your Meryl egg, or I'm sorry, your Togepi egg, that does hatch at level 5. But for normal bred eggs, they actually do hatch at level 1. So that's how you can catch 2s, 3s, and 4s in the wild. I can't think of any time I've seen a level 1 Pokemon in the wild. So I get that part. Sorry, Fish. Not sorry, Fish.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
I have wasted too many hours of my life getting an egg and riding a bike in a circle and getting an egg and riding a bike in a circle. But I got a shiny Scorbunny and I got a shiny Grimmsnarl. That's all that matters. Yep. Or Impidimp at the time that turned into a Grimmsnarl and Scorbunny. Yeah.
Scorbunny. Yeah. So Uncle B Stud writes, Kanto or Master League Premier Classic, what's your flavor and why? So
I think
I haven't done either one, so I'm going to try them both just to see.
For me, I tried both of them and I think I've kind of narrowed it down to just figuring out a meta team, or not a meta team, but a team for the meta for Master League Premier Classic, just because how many times have we done Kanto? I mean, think about it. And when was the last time we had Premier Classic for Master League? So I kind of want to try this out. I want to get a team. I'm set to find a team for almost like any league that we have. And if it's Classic or, you know, if not, because I'm taking advantage that I can do Master League because I don't need XL. So I'm going to try Premier Classic.
I am so far mostly playing in Kanto just because I have a lot of shadows I want to throw out there and make people angry with.
It's a good reason there.
Good point.
It makes a difference when you finally hit Legend and you're like, I don't care anymore. Let's see how many people I can make angry.
Yeah. So next question from King Tom.
You didn't answer. Huh? What are you doing? You didn't answer that.
I did. I said I haven't played either one, so I don't know yet.
But what are you going to do?
I'm going to play a little bit of both and see.
Okay.
I would suggest to try to stick to one, especially like if you're trying to climb still.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're, to me, it seems like you're leaning towards more Kanto at the time. But you do have a team for
Master. I have a team for both. So that's why I just want to see. I'll probably use one set to test it and see which one I like and then go from there. King Tom writes, when will they drop level 60 requirements? Never. Never, please. Never. And what should some of the tasks be? What's the total XP needed? It's right now 176 million for level 50. Okay.
So I can answer, I agree with you, Astro. We should never get level 60.
I didn't want to do 50.
There's precedence for it as well, though. So going back to main series, competitive scene, even if you have a level 1 or a level 100 Pokemon, they're always set to level 50. So based on the precedence of the main series, I don't see a need for them to up the levels. However, knowing them, they probably will. And it'll probably be something like 300,000 to 400,000 XP. And considering I'm not even got enough XP to get to 50 right now, I don't look forward to the day it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I just barely turned 45. So, I mean, I'm kind of hoping like in a long time they do level 60. But I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
Yeah. So he has another part that he wrote in here. And I believe this is more of like a hypothetical thing. So next week, Niantic introduces the premium TM. You can teach any Pokemon any fast or charge move from the main series games. For example, Greninja can learn Hydro Cannon before Community Day. And Koffing can learn Self-Destruct, which isn't in the game currently. How much should a premium TM cost? Why? Or would you buy one, and what Pokemon would you use it on, and what move?
I feel like this is more of a question like that people know the moves of like multiple Pokemons, like Wildcat. But you should be able to buy this, right? Like unless they do this like at the end of GBL, and then you can buy the other Elite TMs, but.
I personally think you should be able to buy Elite TMs in general. You can buy TMs in the main series game. Why can't I buy them in this game? Yeah. But I guess if I did have to pick one, it's only because I know the move. And it would be Greninja, but it would be the, what is it? Water Shuriken. Yeah, Shuriken. Because that thing would be really cool to just see them throwing a giant water star.
I am going to go off the wall here. I'm going to go Galarian Weezing.
Huh. Because it has like two moves in the game right now.
Well, not only that, it has an amazing typing.
Yeah, I know. I want that thing so bad.
And I would give it the Fairy Wind attack and make it a fast attack for fairy moves. So give it something other than tackle for a fast move.
Yeah.
It's crazy you mentioned that move, because I think Artemis has mentioned that a while ago when we thought initially that fairy moves were going to get a buff or we were going to get a new move. I forgot which one it was.
We're supposed to.
It was Fairy Wind. Fairy Wind is in the code. It's just never been added to a Pokemon yet.
That's what it was. I knew the move sounded familiar, but it just never really happened. So yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. So I even completely forgot about Weezing, like that it's even like a thing. But you never know, just like you might have it there.
You know what would be a terrible move to have in the game? Destiny Bond. So in the main series game, Destiny Bond makes it to where if you knock out the Pokemon, you also get knocked out automatically, no matter what your HP is. That would be just awful. I was looking at it, I'm like, that would be not a very fun thing to have to deal with.
Yeah. All right, we got one more question, and this comes from Team Magma Tyler, and he wants to know, what has a better defense, Kentucky football or attack form Deoxys?
I'm assuming.
First off, Tyler, I kind of hate you currently. After the last 2 weeks, it is definitely attack form Deoxys.
So I'm guessing you guys haven't played well the past 2 weeks?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. It's not Clemson bad, though.
It isn't that bad. That is true.
Okay, see.
But we did give up 43 points to Tennessee while scoring 40 points ourselves. So who brought a defense to that game at all?
It's a Big 12 matchup there.
Pretty much.
So
Attack Form Deoxys currently has a better defense in Kentucky.
It's funny when we talk about football and I look over at Dino and he's just like, okay.
I was like, if we're talking about Attack Deoxys, that must be bad. That's all I gotta know.
So that's all of our questions. And that's a show.
It's after midnight. Don't forget to frustrate TM frustration.
There you go. You can start now.
I guess that's mainly for us because this is going to be a Wednesday.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. That's it, right? We got everything.
Yeah. You know, the layout helped.
Yep. So we are going to be on stream with Fish this week. Is it this week?
Yeah. He said the 12th.
The 12th?
Friday. Starting, I believe, at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, something like that.
For a game show with Pallet Town PvP. I don't know what the game show is. He said it's going to be kind of similar to what we do with the Factor Crap. So I'm interested to see how this is going to be. So it'll be fun.
So who gets second, you two?
We already know. We're not going to get first place, so... We'll see who knows
Let the crap talk start now.
So that's going to be this Friday. And then we are looking to stream all three of us again for GBL, for Go Battle Day.
Yeah.
Which is, I found out, the 20th.
Correct.
Okay, yep. There you go.
I don't know why I couldn't remember that one. So... those will be up there, and we'll remind everybody when we get closer to that one. Before we wrap up, we always like to thank everyone, all of our Patreon supporters. If you want to support the show, you can for as little as $1 a month, and you'll gain access to our Discord. That link will be in the show notes. So a special thank you to our Coach's Corner supporters, JD Mojo Jojo, Clifford Mert, Thanks Friend 673, Eastwood, and our newest member, Mama Climbs. Our Patreon producers, King Flip, Kittens and High Five, and King Tom, our Discord admins, Reyes 683, Siegel, and Miami Doc. You can follow us on Twitter at BTWPVPPodcast. Follow us on Twitch, Twitch TV, BTWPVP. We hit on our last stream, 50 followers. So our stream is actually, you can watch it now. So when we stream,
like rewatch
it. If you miss it, you can watch it.
That's awesome.
That's cool. So you can email us at btwpvp@gmail.com. I put the links for the merch store, Patreon, and Pallet Town PvP in the show notes. And I will let you guys all know now, probably around Black Friday, we are going to be releasing. I'm working with the person who helped me do the new logo. We're working on a limited edition Christmas t-shirt, BTW Christmas shirt. So that will be hoping to have it ready to go by Black Friday. And then that'll be cool. And that's pretty much it. So thank you all for listening to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. I'm AstroZombie954.
I am WildcatDad17.
I am Dino El Mágico. And until next time, good luck and get good.
I did that whole ending not being able to hear you guys at all.
And I'm here talking.
Good job. Good job. You're fine.
I did it pretty well, right?
Yeah. I didn't even know.
So, all right. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.